the commandment which we know so well from our reading of the commandments generally every week and our thinking upon them. The fifth commandment is the commandment that we want to hear, that we may live according to it in the light of the gospel. The fifth commandment, which reads, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." That's found in Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. You find very similar wording in Exodus chapter 20. Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, and the fifth commandment is what I would preach before you at this time. But we want, as we've been doing, to consider these commandments from a certain particular vantage point, a divine vantage point, that is, from the Word of God itself. And we want to turn then to 2 Timothy in chapter 3, where there is a passage that bears upon us endeavoring to keep the commandment and also speaks to the fact that many don't, and as well as disobeying the fifth commandment, many are not obeying any of the commandments of God. And the question I want to consider with you this morning is how? How can we be God's children and God's authorities and submissive to certain authorities in the times we live in? How can we do that? To a large extent, the great apostasy in churches and the immorality and ungodliness of American governments and all kinds of governments is rooted in disobedience to the authority of God and a complete lack of recognition of the authority that is vested in the authorities that be. So 2 Timothy bears on that. Let's hear the word 2 Timothy 3. But know this, you have to know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Note this, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, and I just stopped there to try to edify you here, the names Jannes and Jambres are somewhat of a puzzle to theologians, but it could very well be the magicians who imitated the miracles of Moses at the time of the Exodus. Could be, and that's, I think, the Jewish tradition. But note here, they resisted Moses, and so do these, and that would be these kinds that are creeping into households and subverting things. These resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Now that's a comfort, isn't it? All these people resisting God, resisting the ordinances of the Word of God, they're not going to go any further than God has decreed. They are on the leash, as it were, of God. They are His servants, and He is the King. Their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. You have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thus far we read of these perilous times and the solution, the antidote to the Antichrist, the truth of God. May God bless us as we consider, honor your father and your mother, in light also of the perilous times in which one of the marks is there's this disobedience to parents, this unthankfulness and unholiness in the land. By way of introduction to the fifth commandment concerning honor father, honor mother, we want to make this point that the fifth commandment is in a huge way the outstanding commandment of society. It has to do with relationship and deals, in fact, with the fundamental group. That's what a society is. The fundamental group of society, the home. Where some have said the fifth commandment is the home commandment. It deals with spouses and how they get along and why they come together and they're having children. It concerns the parents who must be honorable. And it concerns, and this is the direction, the aim of the commandment especially, it concerns the children and their obedience to parents. Well, as the saying goes, as the home goes, so goes all of society. Well, the saying was gotten from the fifth commandment. The home commandment is the commandment that regulates not only the home, but in so regulating the home, requiring honorable parents and honoring of the parents, there is going to be an infiltration into all society of the homes of the people of God, and there ought to be. As the home goes, relationships go, and friendships go, and marriages are born, and so on. As behavior in the home goes, and we say this to our children around every meal, so your behavior will be reflected wherever you go. And so this is the fifth commandment, vital to the societies. It is vital to homes. It is vital to the nation. It is vital to local governments. It is vital to the Church of Jesus Christ. So it's related to commandments 6 through 10 that have to deal with how to get along with people, not only but positively, how to love them. Don't kill them. Don't commit adultery and don't steal and all of these things. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. Well, it's all based on how we consider one another in the home, how we respect the authority of God and of His Word and so on. Well, at the same time, then, by way of introduction, I want to say that the fifth commandment all by itself is a huge indictment of society. And I mean by indictment, and that big word, children, is that the fifth commandment is like a judge, and it brings everybody to the court because it sees the whole nation and society in which we live at fault and as a transgressor of the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother. The fifth commandment implies, parents, be honorable, and all that is in authority, be honorable. What do we see in our land? But a terrible transgression of this commandment. Defiance of the authorities that be. A lack of acting honorably. And all beginning in the homes. What do we see? Nobody's home. What do we see? People inventing what they think are proper homes. And people shacking up together. And people linking up together who have no business doing together, they're of the same sex. Would you imagine that? The fifth commandment indicts society. And it speaks to the wreckage of homes, to the divorces, and to the terrible string of carnage that there is in all of society. It speaks, and also, and even, you might be amazed, in light of what I've said so far, to build up the covenant society. Yes, this commandment is an indictment. And it ought to bring us up short, shouldn't it? Parents, children, The fifth commandment comes to us, and I hope we're bowing our heads a bit here in shame because of our inconsistency, our lack of respect in all these things. But fifth commandment comes to the covenanted people. Great blessing is the fifth commandment, right upon the path. Here's the way. Here's the standard. Here's the way out of the chaos, out of the wreckage. And from the cross, it comes to us as a way in which we can be those people that are holy in our homes, those people that know how to live in society and not just get along, but to be those who are blessed supremely. And so we want to say in this sermon, long live the covenant society, individual by individual, home by home, church by church. And this morning I want to consider just the first part of this sermon. I want to speak of the parents, first of all, and the authorities, and that whole idea of the commandment. Next week, God willing, or maybe in the week after that, we'll speak of the children. And I know that's what the commandment directs ourselves, first of all, to, but we have to consider the parents. And so we want to consider, in light of perilous times, the fifth commandment, and first of all, the authorities that be. Secondly, parental responsibilities. And finally, the covenant consolation and incentive. Authorities that be. I'm taking a phrase right from Romans chapter 13. And then we want to consider the parental responsibilities and also the covenant consolation. The Word of God speaks of authorities, not just in an Old Testament time. There's a King David, he has a crown. And there's priests over there in the temple, and there's prophets, and they even look the part of someone who must be feared and who must be listened to. Not just then, but for all time, before Israel was constituted as a nation and even after that in the new covenant. What are authorities? Because that's what honor has to do with. Honor is a word that has to do with recognizing a position or a person that is in the place of God. That's what authority is. You think of the word author. That means the originator of something. Well, authorities have their origination, their beginning, their concept, their decree in the author of the universe, who is God, in the author of societies, who wanted society to be ordered and framed according to his own way. He's given persons and positions to be honored. Well, the honorableness of the authorities, according to the Word of God, is that they represent God. Did you know that, parents? You represent God. And when you find yourself representing yourself, or maybe just your ma and your grandpa, because that's the way they did it all the time, you're not acting honorably. And children, if you're looking at your parents as someone to be feared because they have a whip or they have a belt or something like that, you've got it wrong, too. You fear the parents, you honor the parents, you respect the parents because God has given them to be people who stand in God's place. I remember once a former minister of mine was kind of laughing a little bit because one of the children, after the service, and this minister was austere, and he was always looking the part, and he never took his suit coat off, and so on. And the child said, "Mom," afterwards, "is that God? Is that God?" Now, we say that's cute, but there's something beautiful of that. If a man acts like God, he can't look like God, but if he acts as an image bearer, as he acts honorably, and the children are made to sense the presence of God, then we're right on the same page as God's Word. That's what authorities are. They reveal God. As we've been seeing in our exposition of the Ten Commandments, they're all revelations of God. And for people who would not want any more the commandments preached or taught in any way, they're missing out on the revelation of God. You see, when he gives a standard among men, he's saying, "Now you be like me, you be holy as I am." And so, yes, the first commandment, have no other gods. It shows that there's only one God. There are no other gods. Well, the fifth commandment says this of God. He's over all. And when your parents come, and maybe only the littlest of children sense this, and they show themselves, these parents, to be very wise in everything, it seems, in almighty, and they can pick us up, and they can throw us up, and they can catch us, and so on. That's a picture of God, who can throw us up and who can catch us, who is wise over everything, who knows just the right thing to say, and just the time for silence. Well, he's over all God is in every sphere. That's why he gives so many authorities. Because there's not one sphere, there's not one bit of lake or rough road or home or church over which God is not the king. And God wants to show that in establishing authorities here, authorities there, and positions of authority over there, and so on. So wherever you go, you can't get away from authority, except in your mind and except with a gun, and except only for a little while, but certainly never from God's authorities. Well, he wants to show as well that he's the God of power. That's why he makes dad strong, children, and stronger than you are, at least for a little while. That's why he makes them so that they are the one whose word even sounds strong sometimes, when it has a bite to it. There's something here that God would show in the power of his word, which showed that would God is the God of order. He doesn't want chaos. He doesn't want that people are on their own. Now, we might like to think, well, that's great, and can't we go back to paradise? Well, we can't go back to paradise. And Adam and Eve, they were the ones, and they had a relationship, and they hadn't fallen. And they would obey God intuitively, even though the commandments were written on their heart, I believe. They knew the Ten Commandments, if only in their heart and in their intuition. They knew not to have other gods. That was their sin when they did. So we don't go back there. We go forward, and God has given authorities that there can be order and regulation. 1 Corinthians 14, God is a God of order. It's not just a Dutch thing. It's not just a thing where churches have church orders. No, it's wherever God has authorities. It's a biblical thing and truth. And he would show that he's the God of order and not chaos. He's the God of the revolution of the church and the wonderful thing that it is, and not of the French Revolution, because he's the God of order, the God of order. Besides, he's the God of family, and that's why he gives this family commandment. And notice that, what a gift, right in the middle of the ten. Here is a thing for commandment or for the family. Here is how your home ought to be ordered. And here is how the children ought to see their parents, not as friends, first of all. You'll be that later, children. You'll be our best friends later when you're mature. Yes, you are our friends, of course. But there is a respect, first of all, that you show. And as you grow, yes, we share many things in life. But it's not as peers. It's as those who are in a position over you. And we love you no less. And we're glad for you. And we're looking forward to the time we can share more and more. But God shows he's the God of family. But one other thing, and this is so important. God, when he says, honor your father and your mother, is showing he's the God of heart. Because he doesn't want children just to obey because they're afraid of getting caught or afraid of getting beaten. No. He obeys because he gives the commandment. He desires truth in the inward parts. And so it's not enough, children, to obey and say, I don't really want to, but I'll do it anyway. That's not obedience. That's dishonor. That's disrespect. Talking under your breath is disrespect. Talking to your other sibling, I don't know why mom and dad are so unfair. That's disrespect. From your heart you must obey, just like in all these commandments. God desires truth in the inward heart and in the inward parts, and submission as well. So what is demanded then is that we take seriously the authorities that God gives in the home and in all of life. We take them seriously. That's the word, honor your father and your mother. Honor them. Because, as the Hebrew word indicates, they are heavyweights. Now, even if they're light, they're heavyweights, are your parents. Meaning, you better take them seriously. That's what the word means in the Hebrew. It's a figurative way of expressing that they are weighty. They are weighty. They're not someone just to be looked aside at, or if they're your stepdad, oh, it doesn't really matter, or if you're adopted, it doesn't really matter. No, no, no. These are positions that God has given, and we not only do well, but our life depends on it, as it were, to respect them. Because, as the commandment says, honor them that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you. It's that monumental and important to obey the authorities that be, to submit to them, because they're on the behalf of God. It's a word, really, that says revere them. It's used of God. Weigh God heavily. God is the heavyweight of heavyweights. He's glorious! And so, you see in that person, you look through even the veneer of their weakness, and you behold the living God. That's how we ought to consider our parents. And you'll note, unless you want to correct me afterwards, but the Bible never says love your parents. You are to love them. But it says honor them. Honor them. That's the relationship, first of all, of the honored and the honoring that God would show in the home. Revere them. Honor them. Now, it's a matter of authority. That's the point of this commandment. It is a matter of authority. It's not a matter of might makes right, but of position. That's what I try to teach all the time in catechism class. There's a difference between being one who has power and one who has position. Position is first. Position is the place that God sets people. And our submission to the authorities, therefore, doesn't depend upon the quality of our parent, of your parenting or mine, the quality of government, the power of the government. They have more bazookas than we do. No. And whether or not you submit to and honor the policeman doesn't depend upon whether he's a 300-pound sheriff or a 90-pound local policeman. The badge is everything. The place, the position that they're in. That's the important thing here. And again, it doesn't even depend upon the morality of the leaders for us to be honoring the leaders. If that were the case, Jesus himself wouldn't say in Matthew 19, I believe, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Caesar was corrupt. If that were the case, Paul could not have written under the inspiration of the Spirit, submit to the powers that be, because the powers that be are of God. And every ordinance of those powers that be, and he's talking about the Roman government, doesn't depend on morality or immorality, because simply they are of God. And I want to say this. There are many, many different authorities. Many. In fact, the Catechism, Heidelberg Catechism, expands on that in Lord's Day 39 when it says we are to honor parents and all who are in authority. Not just parents, but all who are in authority. And that's Romans 13 and verses 1 and 2. Let me get that for you. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now, that's amazing and far-reaching, isn't it? Now, I know there have been differences of opinion about people, you know, saying, well, these authorities, they've overstepped their bounds, and what is it if Hitler takes over Holland, is he the rightful authority just because he stepped into the place and the queen is over in England? Should we not now, or should we really submit to this Hitler? I know there's questions about that. There's also been questions among the reformers and the Protestants who rebelled against the Roman Catholic authority because it went against the Word of God, and they had to. Well, point I want to make here is just this, that God gives authorities. I'm not going to get into the details, into the webs we can weave when we imagine other things than what God says, but just the principle. There's authorities over us. At work, too. If someone there is at your employer, you are to submit to that employer. That's what Paul says to, or Peter says in 1 Peter, I believe. Submit to your owners, he says to the slaves. Even if they're belligerent and unreasonable, you're theirs. And again, that's not a carte blanche recommendation of slavery, but it says something about authorities there and our attitudes toward them. And we should note, of course, that there's covenantal authorities in the Church of Jesus Christ. In the church, there are elders who are given, Hebrews 13. They watch for your souls. They are the ones who are accountable to God. Now, I know you are. We are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, but there's elders there. God says so. They're authorities. They're important. They're vital. And so we have these. And now we live in this terrible age, Paul says to us in Timothy. This terrible age he describes in 2 Timothy 3 as last days, and I believe that's a reference to the days since Jesus has come. And ever since Jesus has come, the days have been the last days, the beginning of the end. The next thing on the calendar of God is God stepping into time again as the judge. And the final day of days, when there will be this amazing judgment and marvelous work of grace in God taking us home. Well, meantime, last days, and meantime, the last days are called perilous times. And the Greek word there is kairoi. It speaks of a time that is significant, not just chronology, not just seconds and minutes, but significant epochs are occurring here. There is an era in which we live, and it's called perilous. Perilous simply means stressful. It means a time, it can refer to a time in which we're being pushed by things. And what are we being pushed by in the last times? What is pushing God's people to whom this is written in these times? Well, there's a push not to be Christian, not to be respectful of God's word. There's a push to be those who are just like the world. Since these last times have come, and this is the day of Jesus Christ, the times indeed are the times of the Antichrist, in which there is a mocking of godliness and a mocking of truth, but nobody standing up for the truth of the Word of God. And this is seen in a great way in the way that people respect or don't respect authority. Note here in verse 2, at the perilous times that will come, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, whole sermons could be preached on this list of things, but just apply this to the fifth commandment. There's attitudes here that just simply won't go in the kingdom of God. Pride, haughtiness, not liking the fact that there's authorities over us, disobedience to parents. That's right in the middle of this catalog of unvirtues, if we can call it that. 2 Timothy 3:2. It's a time when people are disobedient to parents. And all you have to do is go to the book of Jude, one chapter, 25 verses, I think. And really, that is said to be the mark of this society, the last times. Jude also is this anticipation of the last times. And it speaks about those who disrespect authorities. They don't care about ma and pa, not only, but the elders in the church. And they would reinvent the wheel, and they are at the head, and they're the one driving the ship. So we have these perilous times. And I want to point out to you that it is true, and I don't know who said it, but it's certainly true. Philosophy rules the world. That is, it rules the ungodly world. Back of the disobedience, back of all the disrespect, manifesting itself in the countless ways of dishonor in the home, church, and state, are philosophies. That's lies. The devil's philosophy, already back in the Garden of Eden, is, oh, don't take God so seriously. He's limiting you. And in fact, he doesn't really mean it when he says you're going to die if you eat of the forbidden fruit. That's a philosophy. It's born of hell and of the inferno of hell. Well, there's philosophies that rule the world and want to link up with transgression of the fifth commandment. First one is this, egalitarianism. There's three E's here. Egalitarianism is the philosophy that everybody is equal or should be equal. There's no authorities. Everybody not only has the right opportunities in life, but they have the right qualities and the right dignity to be treated as an equal. Now, I know, from one point of view, this is exactly correct. You know, in Christ Jesus especially, this comes to the fore. In him, there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, slave nor free. That's true. But that doesn't deny the fact that there are positions in this world. There are positions of authority, and God made it that way. parents and everybody else. But egalitarianism is the end of the fifth commandment as we know it. It's the beginning of the women's rights movement. It is that which hatches all of these philosophies that every special interest group that makes enough noise and throws enough money at the politicians has a right to be heard. Egalitarianism. That's at the heart of the French Revolution and every other revolution of man. But then there's evolution. Evolution is the theory that might makes right. I know from study, I know because I was, just by being born in a heathen home, raised as an evolutionist. We simply thought, might makes right. Now, we might have said, well, we got to be nice to people. But in the end, that's what evolution is. The theory of natural selection means the survival of the fittest. And that's where we're at here. The top dogs are on the top of the other dogs, and so on. Might makes right. Well, the Bible says God makes right. And God makes some people in authority who are not as strong as you, who might not be as wise as you, who might not be as quick as a whip as you are. Doesn't matter. God sets people in authority. You have to come to deal with that. But then this E, behind all of the stuff and nonsense of this world, egoism. Mount Ego is the end of authority because the ego, me, myself and I, wants to be the king. And where we each want to be the king, we cannot submit to others that God has given to be the king over us, the mother over us, the father over us, the minister over us, or whatever. So egoism, along with egalitarianism and evolution, these are three E's that are the philosophies ruling the world and making it impossible for people to obey the commandment or take it seriously. Manifestation is this. The homes are destroyed. The homes are destroyed. They start out, and the women and the man, they make their nuptial agreements, and they're equal, completely equal. And no one has to submit, and we're all going to go into this, and if we don't like it after a while, we just split up, and we're still friends. That's not how God made marriage. God made marriage so that the man is the head of the woman. And this is no denial of the dignity of woman. In fact, it's the elevation of the dignity of woman. The place of the woman is the flower. The place of the man is at the oak tree. Who in the world ever said that an oak tree was greater than a flower? Or a flower was less than an oak tree? They're just different. Beautifully fit for one another in the wonderful, wonderful creation and ordinances of God. Well, there's none of that in the homes anymore. There's no point for homes, people have said. There's no point for children. Let's put it all off. It's too much of a hassle and so on, and we'll just be ourselves. Well, if this is the case, and if it's the case as well that homes break up, there's nobody acting honorably anymore, and the children, they become children with no name. They become children with no identity. They have no moorings. They don't know who God is. They don't know what order is. They don't know what respect and honor is. And so we call them Generation X. We don't know what to do with them. Or Y. Or Z. We've run out of letters. What is this perilous time? How are we going to reach as a church a generation that's just off the map? Pity them. And be glad. You be glad, children, if you've had a mom and a dad who love the Lord. You be glad for the order. You be glad for the discipline. You be glad. You'd be glad. What a place, a blessing are God's homes, homes that He sets up. Church home as well. We're seeing not only the error of women in office, the error of not recognizing that the authorities that be, they have the positions, but they also ought to be qualified. It's true. We don't just say, well, the positions are all that matter, the badges are all that are mattered. The police department even trains its men. So our elders ought to be qualified men and not those who are just spiritually inconsistent and immature. So We ought to remember that. But today, nobody's remembering that. The people with the most money, they get into the office. The people who have the most charisma, they get into the office. And pretty soon, they want the minister with the most charisma. The minister who doesn't step on toes. The minister who's just like us. Just from the earth, like us. And not from heaven, like Isaiah or Jeremiah, who is a word to speak, to address us all, and to put us all in our place, because we don't want to hear the word of man. We want to hear the word of God. No matter what. Civil society, chaotic. We are at sea as a nation. And the nations are, such as our nation. We're gone from the moorings of the honor of parents and authorities and the honoring of them. Now, our responsibilities. Just a few things about parental responsibilities. And again, children, you're next. Just going to focus on parental responsibilities. First thing we have to say here is that, parents, if you are going to hear this commandment, you may not be over your children without being under God. Don't dare to be an authority in your home without being under God. Even if you're the only home, the one home under God in the neighborhood, be under God. Be under God. Well, of course, that means you're subject to God. And you bring His word to apply in your home, in everything. It means you love your wife. That means you're humble. All of that. You know that. That can only be for a child of God. We're addressing the covenant community here. Parents, be under God. Father, lead the way. Mother, be right there. So that children can see God in you actively and in every aspect of your life. This is so, so very important. We are those who are not an island to ourselves. We're not authorities in ourselves. We must be those who are under God. And children, that's why you submit. Because mom and dad bring the word of God. They're in the position of that. They might not be, you know what? They might not be the greatest exegetes in the world. They might not know the Greek and the Hebrew, which you might learn one of these days. But just because you know more Greek or Hebrew than they are, and you can tell, you know, you can list off the apostles and so on, that doesn't mean your dad doesn't represent God. That doesn't mean your mom doesn't represent God, and they're no longer in authority because you have the authority of knowledge. They have the authority of God, His appointment. So we have to be that way, though. Love God. Develop in our understanding of the truths of the Word of God. Love the Word of God. Three elements of parenting. Crash course in parenting. First of all, of course, parents, you must support your children. That's why God gave you this authority. First of all, that's the thing. You care for their bodily needs. You care for them. You work. You work so that they can have enough food and shelter and clothing. Work as hard as you can at whatever occupation that's legitimate that you can work on. Work in this. Support them. Their bodies. Their development. Their psyches. Everything about their minds and all of this. You support them. That's just the physical stuff. But then, of course, you educate them. You educate. And this is striking. Soon after the giving for the second time of the law in Deuteronomy 5, there's Deuteronomy 6. In Deuteronomy 6, you read this. You shall teach them diligently. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. There it is. Homeschooling! Right here. Key. Fundamental for the perpetuation of the covenant people of God. Now, I'm not talking about a form of schooling here. I'm talking about the fact that the education of children begins in the home. And however the parents want to delegate, authorities, school teachers, what are fine, as long as they're representing the home and God. The point is, the parents have the responsibility. The home commandment has to do with his home support and home education. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 3, just would point out to you too, that it's all about truth. And the apostle speaks to Timothy of perilous times, and the perilous times are characterized by people who have nothing to do with the truth anymore. They've apostatized from it. They love pleasures more than God, and they have a form of godliness. They deny its power, its truth. They're always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is in the church. And by God's grace, as parents, we love the truth. The truth that sets us free. That's the declaration of our independence. That's what we celebrate in our homes. Let the fireworks begin. The fireworks of the Word of God. And may the parents bring it to bear, the truth, on the lives, every aspect of the lives of the children. Third, discipline. We discipline our children. You act honorably. You want to be the chastising power of God for the children. That's where they learn it, first of all, or they learn it nowhere. And sad to say, many converted even later in life, they don't have this upbringing of discipline, godly discipline. I'm not talking about whips and chains and all ungodly discipline. I'm talking about godly discipline. It's right there in the Bible. And you could call the societies that be, and they try to interfere when you do this. You may not be interfered in doing this discipline. Proverbs 13:24. He who spares his rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him promptly. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Then Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Invariably, the humanists say, this is an uncultured society that's being taught here. Invariably, Christians must say this is the Word of God for the cultivation of wisdom in children. Children need discipline. They need a rod here, whatever that is. Now, us men tyrants can go overboard. We can lash out in anger and hate and spite. We can hurt our children. We can mar them psychologically. For all their life, we must not do that at all. It takes a lot of wisdom, a lot of compassion, but also righteousness and courage to pick up the rod, to pick up the spanking stick, which my parents even used, and to say, this is going to hurt you more than it, or me more than it does you. It's things like that. Again, those are subjects that bear education all in themselves. And I want to list for you 7 easy steps to destroy your home. And I'll leave you with that and then some consolation. Bear with me. 7 steps to destroy your home. You say, Domini, I thought you were here to build us up. I am. But I want to just point out to you, it's very easy not to be faithful parents. First of all, we don't bring the Word of God. That's the first thing. We're bringing our own opinions. We don't bring the Word of God. Second, we don't live godly, whatever area of our life. Those are the first 2 steps. You parents, fathers, mothers, you don't bring the Word of God. You don't live by the Word of God. You are the beginning of the destruction of the next generation. That's how it happens. Third, don't love them. Don't love your kids. They're to honor you, regardless of whether you love them. No, hold it a second. Speak the truth in love. Don't love them. Don't love them? A lot of people do this. Here's how. They just give the kids stuff. Just fill the stockings with stuff. and Christmas bonuses go on the stuff, and then all the year long, it's about stuff, and you don't want to deal with them, of course. No, hold it. Let's be careful here, folks. Any self-respecting iguana can raise its little iguanas that way. Any self-respecting birds feed their young worms. We're here to feed the soul as well as the bodies. Let's love them then. Not just be automatic in giving this and that, but love them, which means sacrifice. Love them, which means read the books to them. And won't you act like someone that's really into it and get at their level? So much of parenting is empathizing. That's why it's important sometimes to get on your knees with your kids. To show at whatever cost, I love you. It's important to hug them. That's important why you should lay in your back, pops, and play hop on pop until they break your stomach. I mean it. This is so important. And you read those stories and you're huffing and you're puffing and you're blowing the house down with them. All right? You're doing all this stuff because this is a part of parenting. This is wisdom. So don't love them? Oh, no. Love them where they're at. And as they grow older, where they're at, and you give them opportunities, you give them to become themselves whom God has ordained them to be, and you're sacrificing your time, and you're being the little league manager, and you're going to their games, whatever it is, you're loving them. You want to destroy them? Don't love them. Don't have the time of day for them. Here's another way to destroy them. Don't demand honor. You've seen this, haven't you? Oh. Mom, I don't want to come. Come on, little Sammy, you come. You come. Oh, I don't want to come. I'm busy. And then mom starts counting. One, two. You don't come on the count of three, then you're in trouble. Hold it. You just lost your honor. What part of come don't you understand should be how you reason with your child? But I do want to say this. We can be unreasonable when we say come in and they're playing and they're having the greatest time and we don't even understand or respect what they're doing here, what they've begun. So be careful. And I have said before and I say it again. You're going to battle with your kids? Make sure you win every one. That means make your battles few. But make sure you win every one decisively. So there's no question who's winning or who has won. And there's no Cold War. You see, that's the authority you have. And so we need to exercise that, just as God does. There's so much wisdom in the Word of God. Perilous times we live in. People aren't decisive. And people, they don't care about this stuff because they're always just caring about meeting felt needs. Oh, no! And here, I'll just leave you here. We're running out of time. There's a consolation here. We're going to get back to this as we explore this and then enter into the children's responsibilities. There's a great consolation here because I hope we need it, the consolation. I hope as parents and even children that you're feeling now the weight of this commandment and that you haven't held it so weighty as you should have as parents. And you have regrets as older parents and grandparents now. And you say, oh, my, did I blow it? Or as children, and you weren't so thankful as you ought to have been. Well, yes. And this word is for you. It's called the word of the cross. And it's called the word of the faithful Father in heaven who sent his Son. Who sent his Son to be the Savior of sinners and ingrates. And those who've been victims, as it were, but also willing participants of the perilous times. Who slipped down the slope and who slide again and again and again. This word's for you. Fly to Jesus and remember the authority of the Word of God. And that Word of God is God forgives sinners. So the fifth commandment comes. Honor your father and your mother, and your days may be long in the Lord, the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Honor Jesus and believe that He is your life and He is your Savior. He is your Lord and He forgives parents who've sinned, children who've sinned. He He's our God like that, isn't he? The God of free forgiveness, the God of blood that cleanses us from every sin, and the God who picks us up now to be better parents, to be better children, to be better covenant society here, more humble elders, more faithful preachers, soldiers of the cross. Amen. We pray, Lord, that you would bless what we've heard, stammered. The fifth commandment comes and it rings loud and true from heaven, like a cannon's gone off, like a great, great loud explosion into our ears and ringing in our ears, Lord. We are ashamed of our lack of honor, lack of honoring authorities, disrespect, our selfishness. We've been practical believers in the philosophies of this world. Forgive us, Lord. And help us to be those who are loving your commandments because you give them not to show your condemnation of us, but to show your liberation of us, that from which we've been delivered, so that now we can begin to be the covenant society in home and in church and in all the world. Hear us and bless us. Continue to bless us on this your day. For Christ's sake, amen.